Hey man, I think I got some special guests in the house. I got my parents, they showed up. Shout out to my dad and my mom and my beautiful sister. We had some engagements at a conference in Sacramento, so they were on babysitting duty, so the meetup point was here at Engage. So love you guys very much. Thank you for being here, and I saved the best for last. My beautiful, gorgeous wife. She looks so good. I was ready to awaken love for her, amen? I was like, yeah, God, I'm going to awaken on this one. but I'm excited to be here, and I believe that God has given me a word. I want to share that with you, so I'm going to jump right in it in prayer. So if you guys can join me. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this awesome ministry, Engage, engaging with God, engaging with others, and engaging in purpose. Father, I pray today they will be one step closer in purpose and even closer to your presence and destiny. Father, we pray that today you would help me to speak this word that you've given me to share with Engage with simplicity and clarity. Father, I just pray that you would anoint my words, that I can articulate myself in such a way that everyone in this ministry, everyone in this place tonight can receive the word on good grounds. I come against every satanic and diabolical assignment trying to frustrate or hinder the word of God. We declare that this word will go forth unhindered and uninterrupted, Lord. And I declare everyone in here good grounds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's jump right into it. Change mic. All I need is one mic. Was that in the 90s? No, that was 2000. Yeah. So let's get into it. Ecclesiastes 3. Verse 1, and I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Do we get scriptures popped on here? Nope. Okay, no worries. You guys have smartphones. So Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Everyone say seasons. Everything under purpose has a season. If you look at creation, you look at our ecosystem, you look at us as human beings, everything has a season. There was a season when we were in elementary. There was a season we were in junior high. There was a season we were in high school. Now we're in a season of being young adults. Amen. We have winter. We have spring. We have summer. And we have fall. All of life around us shows us that there are seasons. Now, the thing that I want to talk about is how to transition in a healthy capacity in your season. Amen. Today, I feel like the word God wanted me to share with us young adults is transition. Everyone say transition. I feel like many of us are in transition. And if you just kind of look, our country is in transition. The church is in transition. Some of you guys are in transition, trying to figure out your purpose. Do you want to marry this person? What career you want to pursue? And transition is something that's good when you embrace it. But the challenges about transition is pre-transition, before the transition, my comfort zone, it offers the illusion of stability. Pre-transition, everyone say pre-transition, meaning the season I'm currently in, when God is calling me out into a new season, my current season often offers the temptation of illusion, but it's really just, often the temptation of sustainability, but it's really just an illusion. And to think about transition, sometimes it's hard for us to transition because transitioning into a new environment, transitioning into new friends and new careers and the new seasons, that means we got to be vulnerable again. That means we got to trust again. That means we got to take risk again. That means we have to leave platforms that validated us in our previous season. And sometimes that's hard to leave a relationship, a season that gave us what we thought we need, when God is bringing us into a new season, a new relationship that will give you what you actually need. See, because if we're going to be people of purpose and destiny, guess what? We have to be people of transition. There's no such thing of having purpose or destiny without transition. And if you don't know how to embrace transition, you'll stay stuck in a season that is offering you the illusion of stability, but it's really killing you softly. And I ain't talking about Lauryn Hill either. Was that a 90s shout out? That was 90s. But you gotta really hear me on this, because if you don't transition when the Lord is moving, you'll stay stuck in a season that can't validate you, that can't offer you what you need. And it's only offering the illusion of what you think you need because you're scared to step out. The children of Israel, they stayed in the wilderness because it was comfortable and they didn't want to transition into the promised land. They'd rather stay stuck in Egypt in something they were familiar and comfortable with. They'd rather stay stuck in bondage than to fight for their freedom, to fight for their promised land. And I feel like, young adults, God is calling us, the millennials, to transition in such a way that we do purpose and we do destiny to where it can change our cities, change our countries, and change our nations. But if we're not willing to embrace transition, God can't use you. You are not a person of purpose if you don't embrace transition. So I want to show you in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. And in just a little quote, you can write down when we can't step into what God has for us. Excuse me. We can't step into what God has for us until we make the decision to go where God is taking us. I'm going to say that again. We can't step into what God has for us. We can't step into the new relationships, the new purpose, the careers. We can't step into the new things God has for us until we're willing to go where God is taking us. And you'll see right here in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4, it says right here, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Everyone say blessed. Here it is. God was bringing Abram into purpose. He was Abram, and God is saying, "I'm destined you to be Abraham. But for you to go from Abram to Abraham, you're going to have to leave things that you're familiar with. In order for you to go from promiscuous to being a person of purity, in order for you to be a person of addiction to being free from addiction, God is going to call you to something that you're not familiar with. And if you don't embrace transition, you may stay stuck in a season. And if think about staying stuck in a season, you get older, but you still stay immature spiritually. Amen? We millennials, sometimes we get those older Christians who, "I've been saved for 20 years, and they still not in purpose." And they think that gives them the right to tell us about purpose. No, God is not a respecter of age. He's a respecter of faith and purpose and destiny. And I don't care how old you are. Spiritual maturity is not based on age. It's based on obedience to the call of God on your life. Amen. If we're not willing to embrace transition, we may get older in age, but still young in the spirit. Amen. And this is why Paul was telling Timothy, don't trip because they despise you because you're young. Amen. Set an example on how you should walk and act and live, because God is not looking for people of a certain age. He's looking for people who's ready to transition with him. He's looking for people who's ready to leave those comfortable platforms, those environments that they're willing to take risk and step into. That is how you get to purpose and destiny. So some of us are going to have to leave some relationships to get some new ones. Some of us is going to have to leave some environments to find a new environment. But check this out. You don't get the environment till you leave the environment. You don't get the new relationship till you leave the old one. We're like this: "God, let me hold on to this old one just in case it don't work. And then you bring me the new one, then I'll let go of the old one." No, God is saying, "Trust me by faith, let go of that old one, and I have some new ones for you." Amen. Because it requires no faith. It requires no trust to stay holding on to something that you think is bringing you stability when it's really robbing you of God's presence. Principles may bring you success, but presence brings you destiny. And if you're not willing to transition, you won't get to destiny. You can be successful at all the wrong things. I was successful at all the wrong things. But it's when I transitioned and pursued presence, then what I was successful at in the wrong things, those principles got shifted, because not only did I have the principles of God, I have the presence of God now too. See, the world, they want our principles, but they don't want God's presence. But as Christians, we have presence and we have principle, and that is what trajects you and launches you into purpose and destiny. You guys with me? So check this out. In Joshua 1, let's go there real quick. And I'm going to have 6 things to give you guys you need to know or do in transition. But let me set this up a little bit more. Joshua 1, verse 1 through 3. It says right here, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, this is interesting because they already mentioned that Moses died, because the first scripture says after the death of Moses. Then it goes on to say to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I believe what's taking place right now, Joshua is mourning over the death of Moses, and God is saying, look, Moses is dead. It's time for you to step up and transition and cross the Jordan and be the leader of this children of Israel. Some of us are still grieving over things in the past that we can't change. Some of us are still mourning over things that are dead in our past, and God is saying, look, that's dead. That's never coming back. You need to embrace what's in front of you, not what's behind you. The prophet Samuel grieved over Saul, and he didn't know that there was a David on its way as well. Some of us are grieving over boyfriends and girlfriends, and you don't know that there is a man of God or a woman of God on their way. As long as you let go of the old, then you can embrace the new. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. You guys know I love talking about relationships, and this one thing that will hurt your purpose and destiny is marrying and being with the wrong person, in Jesus' name. So you got to know how to transition when God is showing you some unhealthy characteristics of a person. And when he starts showing you those things and you like, God is like, let it go. You got to let it go. Let it go. No, I'm just like, let me stop. So we see right here, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. You got to understand, in order for Joshua to embrace his purpose, he had to stop grieving over something in the past, even something as great as his relationship with Moses. God is saying, Moses is dead. I understand y'all had that time of grieving, but it's time to move forward. What are you still crying about in the past that God is saying it's time to be joyful about what I'm bringing in your future? What are we still weeping over the opportunities? You know what? If I cried and I stayed in this constant place of crying and weeping about some of the bad decisions in my past, I would have never been able to embrace the future. Amen? You guys know my story. I've been in prison. I had all these felonies and stuff like that. And if I cried about how I messed my life up in this area, I wouldn't have been able to embrace the call of a pastor in the future that God was showing me. Amen? You know, for me, transition was tough because when I got out of prison, the only thing I knew how to do was be a real estate agent and a club promoter. That was my career. I sold real estate and I threw parties. And then now God is telling me that, hey, I'm transitioning you to be a pastor. I'm like, what? And he's telling me to quit doing real estate. And I'm like, how am I going to make some money, God? But it's in this, like, transition. It's in those type of transitions that you begin to activate something on the inside, that purpose that it's been doormat, and you embrace and transition, God begins to reveal to you how he's going to make it happen in your life. Amen. Some of you guys are in some situations, maybe some career paths, and God is calling you into ministry. God is calling you into a different season. And I'm not saying that you got to completely step out, but be sensitive to the season that God may be telling you it's coming to an end so you can embrace the new season. If it stayed summer all the time, it will mess up the ecosystem. If it stayed winter all the time, it'll mess up the ecosystem. If you stay in the same things all the time, you're going to mess up your destiny system. You can't stay in a season forever. You can't stay a boy forever. You can't stay a girl forever. At some point in time, you got to grow up. If you heal the boy, the man will show. If you heal the girl, the woman will show. When we start embracing things that we need to embrace, God will begin to transition you to places that you were called to be in. Amen? Joshua 3 and 5, and it says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself. That is, separate yourself for a special holy purpose. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Check this out. The moment God told Joshua to go and stop grieving, then he did what? He sanctified himself. He allowed himself to be separate for a holy purpose. Sometimes God can't speak to you till you separate from things so he can speak to you. Amen? There's that God-sized hole in our heart, and there's that relationship-sized hole in our heart. And when we have the wrong relationships, it's drowning God's voice. But when we have the right relationship, it amplifies God's voice in our lives. And some of us have wrong relationships, and it's drowning the voice of God. You can't hear God. You're not clear. You don't know which direction you should go into. That's because you might have the wrong relationship. It may be time for you to begin to transition out of those old things. Set yourself apart. Consecrate yourself. And sometimes consecration may mean you may be in a season of loneliness. But check this out. In that season of loneliness, God allowed you to be in that alone season to show you that you were never alone with him. Oh, that's a word for somebody. Some of us are avoiding these lonely seasons, but really you're not alone. God is allowing you to be alone so that you can realize in him you're never alone. And then when you get to that place of knowing you're never alone, then he begins to bring the right resources, relationships. See, I thought I was alone for a season in my life, and I was like, God, I feel by myself. And God was like, you don't get it yet. You need to stay in the season a little bit longer. The moment I surrendered to that season of just being alone with God, then he showed me that I wasn't alone. Here it is. And then I found my identity in him, and now he brought me into relationships to where I can share my identity that I found in that lone place, that secret place, and now I'm ready to embrace engaging with God, others, and in purpose. See, some of you guys can't engage with people because you haven't learned who you are in God. You're trying to engage with people, and you're making them your source. And when you make people your source, you'll be frustrated at God, and you can't get into the purposes of God. But when you make God your source and you realize God works through people, then you can create healthy boundaries. You can walk in relationships in a safe and healthy way, and then you can engage in purpose. Amen? Our identity has to come from God, and we share that identity in others, with others. Amen? Everyone say transition. Tell your neighbor, you're in transition. So I want to talk about six things we need to know or do in transition. Number one, you guys ready for number one? You need to get your life in order. You can't bring raggedy into the new season. Whatever that is, you being late all the time. You not organizing, you not planning. Here it is. The highest form of faith is preparation. When God shows me where I'm going, I now have to prepare for it. And when proper preparation meets opportunity, promotion is birthed. Oh, Jesus. I don't know if y'all got that. I'll say it again. Here it is. Number one, my man over here, I got you. Number one, you got to get your life in order. You can't bring raggedy into your new season. So the highest form of faith, God, I know this is what you're telling me I'm about to become, is preparation. Preparation, proper preparation. Oh, man, I missed it. Oh, and see, it was Rhema word when I said it. Here it is. Proper preparation. When you prepare yourself, you're ready for promotion. If you're preparing, here it is. When I got my wife pregnant, right, and she had my baby in Zoe. Yes, I did. Here it is. We didn't wait till the baby came to prepare for the baby's arrival. No, in the first month, we were buying things. In the second month, we were buying things. The third month, we were buying things. And we stayed preparing for the birth of our baby. See, God is birthing some things in you, but you're not preparing for the baby. That's why you're staying pregnant for very long. Because you haven't prepped yourself to give birth to the baby. So you stand pregnant for way too long. Some of y'all been pregnant for 2 years. Pregnant with purpose, pregnant with new relationships, pregnant with business ideas, but you haven't prepared for it, so therefore God can't transition you into it. So you got to get your life in order, which means you have to prioritize your life, organize your life, and discipline yourself to keep that. Amen? You need to prioritize your values. You need to organize yourself. And organizing yourself, some people will be mad because they can't get your time like they used to. And you got to be willing to be comfortable with making some people mad because you're making destiny happy. Amen. Number two, you have to inspect your team, your core friends, or in other words, your day ones. Some of your day ones don't need to be in day 30 with you because they don't provide what you need for your destiny. Amen? Some of our day ones been rocking with us too long, and they keep us going back to the old version of ourselves. Amen? See, I can't keep people in my life that only look at me from pre-transition. I can't keep people in my life that only sees me for the old Damien. No, I can only allow my core to be in my life who sees the Damien I'm becoming. So you got to allow your friends and your core to speak to the you becoming and not the you that you're currently at. Amen. You got to allow your core to be people who speak to your purpose, speak to your destiny. Because if you choose your friends or your core wrong, they will anchor you back into your wilderness that you've been in long enough. Amen. So number two, you have to inspect your team and your core friends. What does that mean? You need to inspect to see who needs to go, who needs to be corrected, and who needs to be added in your life. I'm going to say that again. You need to figure out who needs to go in your life. Nope, you know what? I can't rock with you. You're just too freaky all the time. you just smoke too much weed all the time. I can't rock with you. You know, I'm being tempted to go back into my wilderness when we did that together. You need to know that. You need to know your temptations, because that wilderness that you came out of, it will always try to reach at you and bring you back to the wilderness when you're on your way to the promised land. So you need to know who needs to go, who needs to be corrected, and who needs to be added. Some of us need to add new people in our core. But here it is. Don't choose your core like you choose your friends in the past. You need to start choosing your core based on where you're going. Amen? So now in the past, all my friends looked like me. All my core dressed and acted like me. But now in my destiny, I have people who don't look or act like me, but we share a similar purpose. Because now we are unifying and we are complementing, as the body says, every joint supply of another. Amen. See, I learned as a leader, as a pastor, God told me, stop picking your leadership the way you pick your friends. Because some of my leadership, I rock with them as friends, but, you know, some of them are not measuring up as leaders. It's no heart, you know, no challenges. I love you, but it's just, when you are on your way to purpose and destiny, the way you choose people in your life has to be different. Has to be different. I think I hurt some feelings on that one. I'm sorry. Number three. Everyone say number three. Discover the next level alignment. Next level alignment. What does that mean? On your way to transition, you need to see what next level character looks like. You need to figure out what next level relationships look like. You need to pray more. You need to seek God more. Next level alignment. When you are in transition to a higher calling, into a higher level, it requires you to give up yourself more and begin to align yourself with what you're believing for. Amen? So if my next level, if I'm staying in an apartment and my next level is believing God for a house, I need to now save as if I already have that house. I need to now start believing and walking and not buying everything as if I already have that mortgage on its way. Amen. That is what next level alignment looks like. Amen. Number four. Everyone say number four. You need to walk with accuracy. You don't have the stability of the previous season, so every step needs to be calculated. I think it was in the scriptures in the gospel where it says that Jesus didn't move until God told him to move. Jesus didn't speak until God told him to speak. He didn't do anything unless God told him to do it. Now, it doesn't mean we have to be super spiritual on certain things, but we need to calculate and understand that our steps are ordered and making sure we're not stepping in something that God never ordered. Amen? There's something God wants done on earth that he already created you to start. So when I'm walking with precision, I'm basically walking in a way to where I'm stepping into something God's already done. So what do I mean by that? God created our, he's given us a solution before there was a problem. He's giving us, he speaks things from the end to the beginning. So in other words, there is a finished work on your life, meaning God already created you for a specific purpose. So the steps that I walk in is asking God what that purpose is. And as he reveals that purpose, that is the precision step that I take. Amen. Number five. Everyone say number five. You need to pick your battles carefully. There is no destiny without a fight. And you have to be really careful of this. On your way to destiny, there's going to be fights that you don't need to fight. They're just trying to siphon your strength so you don't fight for your destiny. You got to understand that. There's going to be fights that you don't need to even engage in. There's going to be battles that you don't even need to pursue, because these are only battles to distract you from the real battle. Amen? So you need to choose your battles carefully. Choose your battles carefully. Amen. Number six. Everyone say number six. You need to get rid of the wiggle room in your life. You need to get rid of the wiggle room. Wiggle room, excuse me. Let's go to Mark 10 real quick. Mark 10, verse 17. And I'm closing real soon. Everyone say, get rid of the wiggle room. One of the things that I had to do to get rid of my wiggle room, right? Because growing up, I stepped into some promiscuous choices. So when I began to accept and embrace the call of God on my life, I realized that my body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, which lives in me, which means I have to make different choices sexually now, amen? So to get rid of my wiggle room, I went in my phone, or nowadays we can go on our Facebook and Instagram, and I make sure I deleted or I didn't follow anyone that I felt like can bring the wilderness back out of me. Amen? Who said it's necessary? It's extremely necessary. Because when you are pursuing destiny and transition, sometimes you get fatigued. And it's in our fatigue we go back to the things that brought us comfort to calm our stresses. And some of us, sex was comfort. Some of us, drugs was comfort. And if you don't break the wiggle room of what you can go back to, you'll never transition in where God is taking you. So you got to understand that. Because you sometimes can sabotage your own purpose and destiny, because in the moment when you kept that thing around you, you were strong enough to say no, right? But then you get into these weak moments where you're not strong enough to say no. So the best thing you can do is get rid of your wiggle room. Listen to this in Mark 10. It says, as he went out into the street, a man came running up, greeting him with great reverence and asked, good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother. So right now you have this guy who has a checklist of everything he's doing right, but there's still a transition about to hit him. Check this out. And he said, teacher, I have from my youth kept all of them. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Jesus looked at him hard in the eye and loved him. And he said, there's one thing. Everyone tell your neighbor, say, there's one thing. There's always that one thing that we're still holding on to, or that one thing that we still haven't let go. Check this out. And it says, Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him and said, there's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And come follow me. The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear. And he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not able to let go. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is the creator, the one who could have made resources out of no resources, gave him the opportunity to follow him. And this individual had the opportunity to transition with God, but he couldn't transition because he was still connected to his things. He still was connected to certain things that he wasn't willing to let go. And when God is trying to transition you into a purpose, into a destiny, there's things that it's going to cost you that you got to let go. Tell your neighbor, you got to let it go. Sometimes what he tells you to let go is your precious Isaacs. Those things that you believe for and you finally got it, and now God is telling you to give it up. Ain't that crazy? God told Abraham, he promised him a son, and then he also told him to give up his son. Because for Abraham to transition and be what God called him to be, Abraham had to be willing to sacrifice everything for God. I feel like, young adults, God is telling you to give up some of your Isaacs, whatever that is. You've been asking God, what's my next step? What's my next purpose? Where am I supposed to be going in life? And there's that Isaac that you're holding on to, and you can't get to the fulfillment of the promise that God's called you to. Amen? And I want to bring you to this last scripture, 1 Kings 19. I'm going to just read it for time's sake. There was a shift taking place. Elijah the prophet was shifting, and he was raising up the other prophet, Elijah. And it talks about how Elijah dropped a mantle on the new Elijah. And that mantle represent a call. But check this out. When he dropped the call of God on Elisha, the Bible says that Elijah was pretty rich. He had 12 oxen, meaning he was balling. He had cattle. He had resources. And in him dropping that call, The first thing Elijah said was, let me first go bury my dad. Let me first go talk to people. Let me get my house. Let me get things in order. Then I'll follow you. But the thing about transition doesn't wait on you. How many of you guys ever been in a painful situation, a painful season, and you're like, God, can I just hit the pause button on this, grieve, and then hit play and be ready to handle it? Life doesn't work that way. You can't hit pause buttons. You got to know how to go through the pain and transition into purpose. And here it is. You have this man, Elijah, who a call of God was being dropped on his life. And look what he did. The Bible said that after the mantle was dropped on him, he slew his 12 oxen. Meaning he got rid of that thing he can go back to when the call of God wasn't what he thought it would be. See, can we get to that place to where we slew, where we let go of those things in the past? Because we can't have a plan B when we're pursuing God. Because when you're pursuing God, plan A will always work out. I don't have a plan B. My plan A is following Jesus. And if I'm following that plan, everything else is going to work out. But if I have some plan Bs, if I have some backups, if I have some spares, then I can never fully embrace my relationship with God 100%. I can't engage with God and others and walk in purpose. So, young adults, I'm here to tell you that we are in transition. God is transitioning the body of Christ. He's transitioning you as leaders. He's transitioning you. And if you know you're not in a transition, that might mean you've been numb because you've been in a season way too long. And I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you to have the courage to transition, because God is speaking and God is moving and he is leading. But are you willing to let go of things so you can transition into what God has for you? Amen. Are we doing any worship? Or so if we can, I get the, yeah, just in the background softly, please. A little something. So I want to just real for a few minutes. We're not going to be here long. I believe you can be effective without being eternal. Amen. I want to call the young adults up here that are in transition. If you are in transition, if you are in transition, whether it's in purpose, whether it's in relationship, if there's some things that you need to transition out of and step into the new, I want you to come up because I want to pray for you. I've been a man of transition. You know, sometimes God got to get you to your rock bottom till you can transition to the top. Sometimes you got to be brought low before God can bring you high. But if you think you're here and you're not willing to embrace what God is calling to do, then you'll miss the transitions. And I'm here to tell you that God loves you guys. He has purpose. He has relationships. He has business endeavors. But you got to embrace the transitions. And one of the hardest things that was for me was to transition out of friendships with some of my partners who I really loved and still love them, but they no longer met the needs of my purpose. They only met the needs of my sinful nature. And I had to transition out of those relationships. Amen. So I want to pray that you guys have the courage, that you guys have the faith to transition when God is speaking, because he's always speaking, but it's, are you listening? God has secrets and mysteries, not hidden from you, but hidden for you. And it's in transition that those mysteries, the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, but only those who love God can receive. And your love for God is proved when you move with God. Amen. You don't want to be that generation that Bible says they always erred. God kept one generation alive just to get the next out of them. I said, Lord, I don't ever want to be that generation that you just kept alive to get the next generation out of them. No, God has a purpose for you guys right now. You guys are the now generation. You are the now. You are the answer to your church. The millennials, the body of Christ, need you. Because we are keeping Jesus relevant because we are current in things that maybe the traditional things are not necessarily current in. The best church is a multi-generational church. But the best church is when young adults are leading the church. Jesus was a young adult. Amen. Amen, right? So I just want you to lift up your hands. Oh, can I? I'm going to make sure I pray for you too. Can I get some singing? Just lift up your hands. And I just want you to stay in this moment of reflection. I want you to begin to allow the Spirit of God to bring to remembrance the things that you've been holding on to, that you know he has told you to let go. You know, for me, it was my playboy lifestyle. For me, it was hustling. That was tough because my image was wrapped in that. That's how I got my validation. That's how I got my cool card. And now God is telling me to leave that, and it's calling me to be a preacher. See, that was one of the most toughest transitions. And then once you get in one transition and out the other one, there's always new ones. So you need the characteristics to always stay in the presence of God. And that's courage. That's faith. That's trust. Don't equate your relationships that brought hurt with God. You can trust God. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up these young adults all across the room. Every young adult that has their hand raised, every young adult that responded to your call of, God, I'm in transition. God, I pray that you begin to minister to them from the inside out. Father, I pray that you will remove the illusion of the season that they're in and show them the promise of the season that you're calling them in. God, I pray that you will begin to reveal to them who they are in you. Father, I pray that you will begin to show them where their help comes from. I pray that you will begin to sustain them in your promise. Your word says man doesn't live off bread alone, but off every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Our sustainability, our stability is not in earthly natural things. It's in the presence of God. It's in seeking a holy God. It's in seeking your Creator's face, because when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. And when we don't know our purpose, we begin to experiment in life. We begin to try things that we shouldn't try. And that wilderness gets back a hold of us. So just lift your hands, and we're just going to sing a few words of this song. And I just want you to just press in a little bit. The Bible says that when the Spirit hovered over the water, then the Lord spoke. I just want to get in a little bit deeper into God's presence. And I want to declare some things over you. I want to declare that the spirit of fear be broken off of you. I want to declare that the spirit of deception be broken off of you. I want to declare that you will step into your purpose and destiny. I want to declare a Joshua's anointing on you, an anointing to transition.
Mic check, check the decorum. Everything that glitters might not be considered to be aurum, to be aurum, to be go. So far from home, don't let me get in my